B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
I mean, what can be said about Dave Mustaine, a legend in the metal genre, and he's on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown today. Warheads on Forehead celebrates their 35-year history. We talk about that. Also, we talk about the brand new record and the pressure of the next album after winning a Grammy for Dystopia.
And to be honest, in the back of my mind, I keep saying, you know, as long as it's as good as Dystopia, we're going to be safe. So,
what about the song that changed it all for Megadeth? He has his pick, and I agree with him. Has Dave watched The Dirt yet? He answers that question, as well as the Hendrix tour. He says he's never seen Joe Satriani play before this tour. I asked him what he thought.
Oh, he's great. He's terrific. And I haven't ever seen him play before.
That's just for starters, plus rock news and more today with Dave Mustaine on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
Hey, as always, a big thank you for checking out the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. You can always leave a voicemail at 248-586-2988, like this guy did, as far as the interview was concerned with Uli John Roth.
Great interview with Uli John Roth. Love the guy. He's a class act. A lot of people don't give him a lot of credit or a lot of attention. Thank you so much for doing both. You're awesome.
Thank you so much for listening. If you get a chance, go back and check out some of the interviews. Actually, bring up Robin Trower while talking with Dave Mustaine. Had him on the last podcast and all sorts of different guests from Vivian Campbell to Sammy Hagar, Dee Snider, even John Five. So if this is your first time checking out the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast, go back and listen to those. Like I said in the intro, we've got the brand new stuff from Megadeth on the way here in 2019, hopefully. But right now, Warheads on Foreheads, their 35-year anniversary is out. And I got to tell you, Warheads on Foreheads. What an awesome name for a Megadeth record. Of course, Dave is out pushing that. He's got all sorts of stuff happening as far as the Megadeth machine is concerned this year with a tour with Ozzy. He's got the Mega Cruise and all sorts of stuff. So they're running a little bit behind and the connection isn't great, but it is Dave Mustaine on the other end. So hope you guys enjoy this conversation today with Megadeth's Dave Mustaine on Talkin' Rock.
Hey, buddy.
How's things going? Warheads on Foreheads, 35-year anniversary bash. I mean, this record's killer. Came out last week, and tell us a little bit about the process of putting this thing together.
Well, it's cool talking to you, buddy.
Yeah.
Warheads on Foreheads came out. It was a project that we were approached to do. 35th anniversary, obviously. That's why we chose the 35 songs, and we used a bunch of different sources to get ratings of songs and what the fans liked. And then I looked at the very last list after we'd gotten ratings from the band, from management, from the label, from all the different streaming sources, from sales and fan club and everything. And kind of compiled all that information, and when the list was done, there was about 30 songs there that I said I agree, and then there were about 5 there that I said I didn't think should be on there, and chose a couple other songs, and ended up picking what makes up the 35 songs on Warheads, and then we did the Death by Design graphic novel to accompany it.
Yeah, so looking through all these songs here, I think I know the answer to this question, but what song is it that you think really changed life for Megadeth?
Symphony.
Yeah, Symphony of Destruction. That's exactly what I thought, too. I remember playing that when it first came out on the radio, and you could just tell it was a hit. It was heavy, it was thick, it was full, and that's really the song that you think catapulted Megadeth.
Catapulted, I would say, probably one of the biggest songs we had was Symphony. Trust was another big one, but I think by the time Symphony had come out, we'd already made a mark with songs like Peace Cells and stuff like that.
Right, right.
Symphony was definitely that was the one that made us, have credibility against the other big acts, because up until then we were just a little thrash band, and then when Symphony came out, we started to take them seriously.
Yeah, I remember playing songs off Rust in Peace and stuff and Hangar 18 and stuff like that. But yeah, Symphony was really the one for me that really put you guys on the map. Now, you guys are working on the new record right now and stuff. And I wonder about this sometimes. It's like, what is it like working on this new album, after having won a Grammy on the last record? Do things change, or are you just kind of full steam ahead as usual?
Well, I'd like still think it's twisting head as usual, but to be honest, in the back of my mind, I keep saying, you know, as long as it's as good as Dystopia, we're going to be safe. So that's the bar. And the problem is, that's a pretty high bar.
Yeah, and how far are you along in the new album?
Well, I've got 8 songs that I've written, and the band guys are supposed to be writing stuff too, so we'll see just how much music everybody contributes. I'm hoping to get a lot of music from different players because they all have something great to offer.
But, yeah.
You know, that's usually when the records, when it's all said and done, we've turned the songs into management, and all of us have taken a look at the tracks, and we usually all decide what songs are the best songs to be on there.
Now, you're on this Hendrix tour right now, the Hendrix Experience. You were just here in Detroit over the weekend, and from what I understand, you've never saw Joe Satriani play before this tour, so what are your thoughts now?
Oh, he's great. He's terrific, and I haven't ever seen him play before. This is the first time. I haven't seen Eric play either, and it's just really, it's just amazing. They're wonderful players.
Yeah, and I know you were here the other day, and Zakk Wylde and stuff, and the whole thing, and man, the Dweezil Zappa. Are you enjoying this experience, the Hendrix Experience?
It's been really terrific. You know, there's been times in my career where I've done things, and I've looked back and said, you know, I wish that I was paying a little more attention at the time, because that was really a neat experience, and it kind of just blew past. You know, the heavy metal world, especially, you know, members of the Big Four, you know, we've had, and rightly so, we've had a certain responsibility to carry the torch for metal bands around the world, and you know, we've opened a lot of doors and made a lot of things possible. So you know, there's always that thing in the back of my mind that, you know, we've got a responsibility to not only make good songs, but to play good songs. You know, and when I go into places like this thing with the Hendrix Experience and doing somebody else's songs, it's so new for me. And the very first show that I did, I was saying this earlier today, you know, I was pretty terrified because I just didn't want to make a mistake.
Yeah,
who wants to blow Purple Haze, right?
I heard you talking the other day about how Hendrix would use his thumb on the top of it, on the top hand, and I brought that up to Robin Trower yesterday, and he had no idea what I was talking about. So maybe I was talking out of my ass, but it was kind of a funny conversation I had with him.
What did you say to Trower yesterday?
I told him how you said that you I heard an interview you did where Hendrix used the top hand and used his thumb as part of the bass lines.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Robin
didn't know what I was talking
about.
No,
he didn't know what you, no, he had no clue what I was talking about. So I just thought that was kind of a funny comment that he just like, oh, I never heard that before.
Yeah, what happens is like, okay, look at put your right hand out like you're holding a guitar, right? Remember, he plays left-handed, so
right.
He frets with his right hand. Okay, close your palm so that you see your fingernails on your right hand. Okay, those go on the neck, right?
Yeah.
Your thumb comes over the top.
Yeah.
Now, some guys will put their thumb on the back of the neck when they play. Other guys will hang their thumb over the top. He not only hung his thumb over the top, but he did what I did. I had my thumb hanging over the top because I had a real narrow neck. And I thought one time, man, I wonder what it would sound like if I just held my thumb down there trying to be a show-off. And I was pedaling with my thumb over the top of the neck. And then I wrote Reckoning Day, which I used the thumb, and I fret with my fingers, and I have moving chords with my four fingers, and I've got a stationary bass line with my thumb. I couldn't pull it off if I tried to do that any other way using my thumb.
Yeah, that's a killer song. Hey, they're going to cut me off here in a couple of minutes. I got two more things here for you real fast. First of all, have you seen The Dirt yet?
No.
Okay. Secondly, let's talk about hockey, because that's really what's important. So who's your pick for the Stanley Cup?
Oh, oh God, you know what? You're going to be so mad at me.
Well, we're out, so.
I'm a Preds fan, so I'm going to say the Preds, hopefully, but I haven't been watching any this year. I've been so busy with writing and doing this Hendricks thing. You've got such a crazy busy year. If it ain't the Preds, it better be Detroit, right?
Well, it's not going to be Detroit for sure, but I was with Darren McCarty last night. He told me a story about how he was skating off the ice in Phoenix one day, and he looked up and you were walking down the stairs. He gave you like the devil horns or whatever. Do you recall that?
Yeah, and McCarty's a good guy. He is always somebody I looked up to as a player because he was a totally serious player, but he still had a great sense of humor and he was really good to the fans.
Yeah. Yeah, he talked about the few times that he met with you. So, hey, listen, man, congratulations on Warheads and Foreheads. Can't wait to, dive into the new stuff that you got coming out this year. And, of course, good luck with the tour with Ozzy and the cruise and everything. And, Dave, thanks so much for the time. Always great to talk with you, man.
You too. I won't be wrong.
All right, we'll talk to you soon, Dave. Thanks.
You got it. Bye, buddy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
All right, there you have it. Dave Mustaine from Megadeth, as they got the Warheads on Foreheads, like we were talking about the 35th anniversary. What's your, Elbeck, what's your favorite Megadeth jam or Megadeth album?
Oh, God, Rust in Peace is probably going to be my top album.
Yeah, Rust in Peace is great. The interview he was doing before us, he was talking about how Holy Wars, I guess he had done that solo one time. That's it.
Really?
Yeah, he was so mad. He said that he was, there was friction in the band and the whole thing. He kind of explained it to you. Right.
That doesn't sound right at all.
Yeah, they've had their share of battles. Yeah. There's no question about it. Also, Chuck Bean joining us. What's your Megadeth jam?
Oh, I got to go for Countdown to Extinction.
Yeah, Countdown.
I love that. It's produced so well. Dave's vocals sound so amazing on that album.
Yeah. Dave's growl and stuff. I just love it. But in case you're wondering, Al and Chuck have a podcast also called Nerd Radio. I guess it's actually yours, Chuck, isn't it?
I joint custody.
Okay,
joint custody. He just does all the work. That's
right,
all.
Okay, right. Yeah. I see. You just like this one.
Yeah, exactly. No, I am making a podcast career out of coasting.
Yeah. Well, got some pretty big numbers.
Coast without co-host.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I don't know. I got some pretty big numbers last week without you here. I just want you to know.
Good. Can't wait to see what happens to Nerd Radio when I go on hiatus.
That's right.
Oh no.
So, anyways, we got rock news. We're gonna give you guys all sorts of stuff coming up here, including stuff on Slipknot. But first of all, new tour has been announced. Kind of like one of those festival tours. So, what do you got?
Yeah, Rockstar Energy Disrupt Festival announces their inaugural lineup this year. One thing that's kind of interesting, I'm not even sure exactly what this means, but it says a unique lineup in each city, including The Used, Thrice, Circa Survive, Sum 41, Story So Far, Atreyu, Sleeping with Sirens, Andy Black, and more. But what does that mean exactly? A unique lineup to each city?
Maybe you're only getting like two or three of those acts.
Yeah, maybe they change up the order. Maybe Used is headlining one of them, and then maybe Thrice is on another. So I don't see a lot of details on what exactly that means. But it's a 25 city rock road show kicking off in June.
Okay, let's move on to Metallica here. So the S&M, I guess their first show sold right out, right? Is that right? What happened?
Yeah, I guess some bots really picked up all of those those tickets, is what it sounds like. But I mean, first of all, it's already a cool idea to do S&M 2, an anniversary thing. Uh-huh. You know, it was pretty groundbreaking, mixing rock and roll and the orchestra together. But Metallica has added a second show in San Francisco for this.
You know, I may be in the minority here, but I thought that S&M record, some of the songs, I thought really kind of gave them a new life. Some of them I don't think worked. But like, for example, Fuel, I thought sounded amazing with the orchestra and stuff. So what'd you guys think?
It's kind of cool. You start to see some of the orchestras getting worked into rock songs, and you know there's some heavy metal bands that like to do it.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean the Scorpions did it, and all sorts of bands have done. on that in the past. But yeah, two shows right there. And then they got their Giants Day 2 coming up, don't they? It's like their sixth year in a row, I think, coming up in the beginning of May, where they go out there. And I think last time Kirk did the national anthem on his guitar with the Marshall stack right there on the infield and whatnot. So
yeah, they show for the Sharks too a lot, don't they?
They do some stuff for the Sharks. Yeah. They're kind of the whole Bay Area thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Just like Kid Rock and whoever is around here. But yeah. And then Lars, I guess, wants to do some sort of movie soundtrack or something.
I love this. Only Lars. Only Lars can come out with something like this. So some of these guys, maybe you don't even realize it, you know, these big musicians will do movie scores.
Oh, yeah.
You know, not all that long ago, Trent Reznor did a score for a Ken Burns documentary series.
He's done a bunch of scores.
Yeah, so, social media and the whole thing.
Yep. Perfect example of it. And sometimes you don't realize it. Well, Lars
Ulrich, he used more than one instrument.
I think technically speaking, Lars is planning on using more than one instrument, just one section.
Okay.
I don't think he has anything actually planned, but he is kind of musing on the idea of like, wow, wouldn't it be cool to do an entire movie score using nothing but rhythm and percussion?
You know what? It might be. You don't know. Who knows?
If it's a movie like, Mad Max or something like that, that might work.
You think he's going to redo Mad Max?
Yeah.
But it could work, you know? I mean, what are you going to do?
It could work, but only Lars could be like, you know what? This movie needs music. Nothing but drums.
Listen, if there's one thing that Metallica is known for, it's sticking their neck out and doing something different. Example, St. Anger and Lulu.
Yeah.
Yeah, how those
exactly.
work out.
Yeah. But you know what? As bad as those records were, you got to give them credit because they gave it a shot.
Oh, you go ahead and give them credit.
Hey, listen, at that time, though, it's like, look, these guys never have to work again a day in their life.
That's
so they
true.
Can do whatever the hell they want.
That's true.
If Lars wants to fart into a microphone and make that into a soundtrack or a score, that's what's going to happen.
Right.
Are you gonna buy a vinyl of it and play it during your workouts?
Yeah. Probably not.
I don't know, but I'm sure it's gonna be on your next Michael Bay movie, your next Transformer movie.
Yeah, for sure.
You might regret this day. It might be a big hit. You never know.
It could be. I'll eat my words on this podcast that four people heard.
Yeah, right.
That's why we call it Rock News. You can take or leave.
That's right. You can leave it or use it or not.
But that could be interesting. But moving on, Static X. Have you heard about this? Uncovered some more lost Wayne Static vocals.
No, and that's weird. It's funny about that because I talked with Johnny Kelly and that from Typo Negative. And last time I talked to him, I said, "Hey man, what do you guys have in the vault and stuff?" They said nothing.
Yeah.
It's so some of these bands, obviously Vinnie Paul was working on stuff.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of different. But this, it's how many years ago did he pass away? Wayne Static.
Oh, God. It's been a few at this point.
It's been a while. I'm going to say at least five.
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
It seems about right. It feels about right. I mean, I could always pull it up if you really...
It's always amazing to me when bands or artists continue to release stuff well after somebody's dead. How much stuff did you record and then sit on?
I'm sure there's a new Jimi Hendrix album still on the way.
But here's the thing. It's some bands Metallica and Kid Rock and those kind of guys, they have their own studios. So they can just go to their studios whenever they want.
That's true.
And they have tons of stuff probably. And some of these guys that have to pay for it or the record company pays for it, they probably don't have as much.
Maybe
Typo Negative. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Yeah. November 1st, 2014 was when Wayne passed away.
All right. So it'll be 5 years this November.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they were working on something when he died. I'm not really up on the whole Static X timeline.
I know he also had a solo project that he had done. He had a Wayne Static solo project that he put out an album for, so maybe that could be some of the mysterious stuff they found. If you remember, his wife had a real hard time with it, and she ended up passing away shortly after, so it's not like she could have been like, Wayne had this stuff.
Right.
And she would have been so distraught that she probably wouldn't have thought of it at that time anyway.
There was a Michigan connection to that band. Is Wayne Static from Grand Rapids or Marquette, I think.
Yeah, I think he's from Marquette.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they were going to do some sort of tour or something to kind of do an anniversary and a remembrance of Wayne. But they've also got this new album.
Why would they do a tour? Who's going to sing his stuff? I mean, he had such a unique voice.
It's true.
Are they going to make a hologram?
They could make
a hologram.
Yeah, that is the new thing.
We'll see what happens with that because the hologram thing, man, I'd have to see it with my own eyes. But yeah. I don't know if I'm digging on it.
Yeah, but they are saying that the band's upcoming album, Project Regeneration, will actually feature Wayne's vocals on more than half of the record.
Okay, what about the other half?
Who knows? I don't know. I told you, no follow-up questions.
That's right, I forgot about it.
The other half is all instrumental.
Yeah, that's one of the rules, Chuck. No follow-up questions. Yeah,
you're lucky I got some information on a follow-up.
I'll just throw stuff out there and we're just supposed to go with it.
This is a red letter day. I am killing it this week.
I might have to implement that over on Nerd Radio.
Oh, God.
No follow-up questions.
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be a lot shorter, that's for sure.
Right.
All right, so finally we got something from Slipknot.
Yeah.
So we talk about Slipknot quite a bit. We had Corey Taylor, if you listened yesterday, or the last podcast with Robin Trower. Corey did a little bit of rapping, but this time around, I guess the
he's
guys...
doing who knows what.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what this is, but they put this on their... Is this their Instagram or Twitter or Facebook?
Yeah, it's on their Twitter account, and it's meant to promote the new album, which is coming in August, of course, and... It's just a creepy 1 minute vocal teaser video. There are vocals at some point in this video, so
yeah, you say that, but I haven't heard any yet.
It's in the background. It's not words.
Plot twist: these are the vocals.
Yeah,
yeah.
So yeah, this is like this slow motion kind of looks like it's going around in a very slow moving circle, and then it just closes off. So,
right.
But yeah, it does say vocals. That's what it says there. Vocals.
That's what it says. That's the only reason I know that the vocals are in this, because that's what the story says. I'm reading over here. But, yeah, so it's meant to promote the album coming in August. And, of course, Knotfest is going to be coming up this summer summer as well.
You don't know who's singing the vocals on the other part of the Static X record. Then you think those are vocals. What is wrong with this? Why do I even pay you?
I know, my check for $0 bounced, by the way. But yeah, Volbeat, Gojira, Behemoth, all in Knotfest, dude. Going to be a good lineup. Going to be a good album. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be killer. So tell everybody how they can check out Nerd Radio.
You can find us on WRIF.com and the BPod Studios Network, wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, you can text NERD to 4WRIF and get it sent right to your phone.
And social media, Nerd Radio 101.
Okay. And so like you guys, for people that are listening out there right now that never heard Nerd Radio, I mean, sure. It's kind of self-explanatory. But yeah.
Kind of. We like to say if you've been made fun of for it, we're going to talk about it. Yeah. Pretty much everything I'm into, which is pro wrestling, comic books, video games, science fiction, TV shows, Doctor Who, if we're going to talk about it.
Now, you're a guitar player, right, Chuck?
I am, yeah.
So what do you think of Dave Mustaine as a guitar player?
Oh, he's a phenomenal guitar player. I don't know that I would try and emulate him, but at the same time, I absolutely respect his ability.
Yeah.
You know, my favorite word I ever heard somebody use to describe Dave Mustaine's playing style was mechanical.
Yeah.
Just very mechanical.
Yeah. I can agree with that. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Dave has a very like, purposeful approach.
Yeah.
Right.
He doesn't veer too far off of it.
Yes.
But that's the kind of music.
He has a purpose, too. Exactly.
Yeah. So, anyway, speaking of Dave and Megadeth, if you've made it this far, of course, a 5-star rating and a review if you can. Also, Frank Bello and David Elfson going to be on the show here coming up in a couple weeks in studio, so that could be kind of cool.
Nice.
So,
yeah.
That way, bring their instruments in and everything.
There you go.
Awesome.
Then we can sing a song, so.
Yeah, a little kumbaya.
Go ahead, Al. What's your socials?
Al Beck Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
All right, at Meltdown WRIF and at Talking Rock with One. Hey, thank you guys so much for listening. We have we have a jam-packed week, so keep checking back because we got some other guests coming up. I don't like to jinx it, but we'll do this again one more time before the end of this week, and we've already got some guests lined up for next week, too. So thank you so much for listening to Talking Rock with Meltdown.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.